This is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. We are all now living through a difficult time. More than ever, we are being called to turn toward the light of Christ and to follow Him. So our work doesn't stop. In fact, it's more important than ever. Please consider making a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, between now and Divine Mercy Sunday, April 19th, to help support our efforts to offer spiritual guidance, love, and hope to the world. Hit the donate button at discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the Discerning Hearts free app. Thank you from all of us at Discerning Hearts, and God bless. Discerning Hearts now brings you, during this Lenten season 2020, which is occurring during the global coronavirus pandemic, a daily reflection by Monsignor John Essiff. Over the course of the next 30 minutes or so, he will reflect in the beginning on the scriptures of the day, and then we will have a conversation about what is occurring in the world, in the church, and in our own personal lives. We now present Monsignor John Essiff. Good morning, Monsignor.
Good morning. I'm so happy to wish you a very happy and Holy Thursday.
Thank you. This is a very different Holy Thursday, isn't it?
Wow. You know, I had signed up with the chaplain and the Chase Institute here, a prison, and it's a state prison, to have Mass there for today. And this is very, very dramatically changed, and because of the coronavirus, there's all these institutions have changed their schedule, and because of the coronavirus, St. Peter's itself is closed to the celebrations that they usually have there, magnificent expressions, and today even like these celebrations that take place on Holy Thursday, the foot washing, there's no foot washing permitted.
Yeah, hard to do foot washings when you're social distancing. Can't get more intimate than washing someone's feet.
That's right, and so that this affords us at this time a tremendous opportunity to do some teaching. What is the coronavirus and its consequences? And just a few weeks ago, this descended upon us, and you know, what was the significance? It's the opening ceremony for Holy Thursday was foot washing, and what does that mean? You know, when I would go to the prison and I would wash the prisoner's feet, it was a demonstration of the dignity of prisoners, and what was their dignity? You see, Jesus is telling us today the dignity of everyone because of his salvation that has come to us. In the 13th chapter of John, Jesus has not yet suffered and died. And I think it's so important that these persons that he's washing their feet, you know, they were not apostles in the sense that they were the leaders of the church. They were just like everybody else. They were totally in sin and under the power of Satan, and they were destined to die because Jesus had not yet suffered and died on the cross. These men were not the apostles of the Acts. These men were weak, powerless, and unable to really give anything of themselves. And it's very much demonstrated by Jesus, who washes their feet. Let's listen to this gospel of the 13th chapter. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to hand him over during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. This Savior is now going to wash their feet. He rose from the supper, took his own garments off, and put a towel around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter. You know that. Remember, there was no motorized vehicles then. The muck and the dirt of animals was on the ground, and Simon Peter had much of that on his shoes and feet. "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" This was the work of a slave. Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you." Now, unless you're going to be baptized, unless you're going to be cleansed, he says to Peter, "You will have no part of me." Jesus said, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So are you clean, but not all of you." Because he knew it was who was to betray him. "Not all of you are clean," he said. So when he had washed their feet and put his garment back on and reclined at table, again he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, indeed I am. I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet. You ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example to follow, so that as I have done, you will also do." The foot washing is an example. Now, someone like Mother Teresa grasped the truth of it. And what is that? You see, when she would see in the poorest of the poor Jesus, when she would see, you know, the worms eating out their brains and the poorest of the poor dying in the streets, she saw in each of them Jesus, because that's what example he is giving them. This scumbag, Peter, is about to run away and deny him three times. Judas, whose feet he washed, is going to betray him. And all of them scatter, with the exception of the one who stayed with his mother and just an unshaven youth. And probably she's the one who just protected him from running away. I really believe that this is not understood. These were schmucks, just like all of us. And every single person who was born and lived before Jesus and his death on the cross that's about to take place, he's going out and he's going to die. And in fact, at this very evening, when he comes to the Last Supper, and this opening mass is going to be the celebration in which we celebrate the suffering and death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he's not going to do that until he leaves this meal. John doesn't have that account in the sixth chapter of his gospel. He over and over again teaches, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have life in you. My flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you shall not have life in you. He teaches this teaching of the body and blood of Christ being here on this food. But he most teaches here the significance and the truth that each of us becomes Christ by our baptism. That when he sees each of them, that the dignity that they have, I am your master and Lord, and I have washed your feet. And so when in the future you are to wash the feet of one another. And so as Christians, we have learned this magnificent lesson. And Mother Teresa learned it well. She sees in each and every person Jesus. You know, having been with her, and you know, when I washed the feet of the prisoners, that's where I was destined to be today. I was supposed to be in the jail. And last Holy Thursday, I washed the feet of 12 of the prisoners. I remembered when Pope Francis went to the prison and he washed the feet of the prisoners. Those who are in prison, those who are poor, those who are even outcast, and the least of the brethren is Christ himself. Jesus living in each one of us. How do we know him? We know him in his body. And each, when you pick up your baby and it's Jesus, when you love your own children, they're Christ in your midst. Each of us becomes the body of Christ, and we are ministering. And that's why that prayer that he says at the end of his gospel, before his celebration of suffering and death, before he goes out to die, he prays that they all may be one, as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us. He makes so much of his discourse at this Last Supper. I am the body. You are in me. I will go and be your head in heaven. But I am going to be in each of you. I will be in Peter, a specific, irrepeatable, unique Christ. No one is quite like you, Peter. I will be in you and with you, and I will remain with you. And so with Thomas, and so with Nathaniel, and so with Stephen, and so with all of those who were baptized in the Acts of the Apostles, we truly meet Jesus in the church. And Jesus in the body here on earth is radiating his love to the entire world. And each of us has that power. He is in us, and through us he lives. And when Mother Teresa did that in the 20th century, she touched a fiber in the body of Christ that set off this tremendous wave of love throughout the world. Each of us can be that, and we have that potential. And when I experienced this, you know, that this coronavirus has given us a great opportunity. When we hear in the gospel of today that Jesus is giving us his flesh to eat and his body. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down, and in the eyes of all in the synagogue, looking intently at him, he said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. I am the Messiah. I am the one that you have been waiting for." Well, they were so shook up by his saying they were looking for an earthly king. They wanted someone to cast off the yoke of Rome. The Messiah will be a great military leader. The Messiah, the king, he is going to be a welfare state man. He's going to give us free bread. And when he did that, and when he multiplied the loaves, they were very happy and satisfied with him. But that you are the Messiah, that you are the Son of the living God, and that you have come into the world sent by your Father, our Yahweh, that you are God and have made yourself equal to God, they were going to throw him off the hill. But no, he was going to die, and this is the night that he has chosen for it. And so then he says to his apostles, taking the bread that is right there at the table, this matzah, this bread that he was eating from the Passover, "This is my body. Take and eat it." And right from the cup that was there on the table, that before they were going to leave, he said, "Now, this is my blood. Take and drink, and I will finally give you this gift." Why is it tonight? Because as soon as those doors open and I go out there, you're going to betray me. You're going to deny me. You see, they really and truly were totally and completely frightened and under the power of Satan. They were completely scattered and ran. Only he is the Savior, Jesus, who then goes to suffer, to be scourged, and to die, and to be denied by them, to be abandoned by them. And there, that's the suffering too, that if we are one with him, we too will go through. And that's what he promised us. "If you want to be my follower," he told them, "then take up your cross and follow me." None of them could do that on their own. But it was only until Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles and the Blessed Mother in the upper room, did they now become transformed into Christ. Now, this is the Peter of the Acts of the Apostles, going forth and proclaiming Jesus. This is the Peter that goes out and suffers on Calvary, in his Calvary, was in that Roman hill where he is crucified and where St. Peter's Cathedral is today. And this is where Paul, who is baptized, and he begins to tell us that same thing in his epistle of today. Paul is revealing to us in this night just how truly we are one with Jesus. I became one with him at my baptism. Christ and I are one. He says in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, and I am one with him. He in me and I in him. Remain in me. He is only Christ as he is now united with Christ in baptism. And each one of us, no matter what role you play in the body of Christ, you know, when the coronavirus came along, and this is just a short time ago, this family that I know very well in southern Pennsylvania, I'm his spiritual director, David, he was telling me that they're at home now, and he has 10 children, and they were at home with him, and they were sitting around in the table. And where they were at home, and they had the television there, and they were listening to the Mass. And he was then taking those same scriptures, and he was breaking them open for his family. What a magnificent role for a father. And as he explained the Gospel, the Epistle, the Old Testament, he's a magnificent teacher, and I know him to be such a marvelous evangelist. And here he is teaching his 10 children, and there he was with his wife. What a marvelous, marvelous example it was. And his little daughter, Emily, then he was just telling me this. Daddy, this is the best Mass I've ever been at. A father now going, breaking the word open with his family. What a magnificent Sunday this is. And all because we're forced now because of the doors being closed and we ourselves having to take those same scriptures, and through many of the priests are televising their masses and they're televising their ceremonies in their local churches, and they're preaching to their people. But how important it is that we teach our families, that we come together again with our children, each of us, Christ in each of us, Christ in the Father, Christ in the Mother, Christ in each child. Each of us is a unique, each of us is a specific. Each of us is an irrepeasable Christ, down to the least of us. And even those people who no longer go to Mass or go to church, if you have been baptized, you are in him and he is in you. And he, the Holy Spirit, in you will guide you back and unite you and remember you, reunite you with the body. You will be remembered. And during this holy season, each of us, whether you're dead or living, will be remembered. those in our families who are, even though you're closed your eyes in death, how many of us will be united in this Mass? Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world. Bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, and our Bishop, and each of us who is hearing. Pray for your Bishop today, and all the clergy. Pray for the priests that are burdened and have the responsibility of teaching us throughout the world. They aren't the only members of the body of Christ. Every single one of us are members, and we belong to the royal priesthood. Brothers and sisters, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night before he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do it in remembrance of me. And so as we do it in our own homes, in the same way, also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he come. There are certain members of the body, the priest and the bishop, who have this power to change bread into his body and wine into his blood. And each time we celebrate the Eucharist, we have the sacrifice of Calvary, not repeated, but the same sacrifice. Now, in our day, here, I will be with you all days, even to the end of time. Take and eat. This is my body. And I'd like to remind the priest and the bishop today of what you do at that Mass, that this is my body, the priest says. This is my blood. You actually, as sinful as you are, and remembering how, and that's what he wants us always to remember, that he is the only one who is perfect, holy, and truly, and fully the Son of God. It is he who is in us. And then we, to the extent that we are grafted and united in him, in our sufferings united with him, in our joys united with him, in our life united with him, it is through him and with him and in him that we are made this sacrificial offering to God. And each Sunday that we attend and assist at Mass, we can give ourselves, and that's the greatest contribution you make. At the offertory of the celebration of the Eucharist, usually that's when the collection is taken up. When you contribute money or whatever you give, in the old days they used to give they used to give from their farms, whatever they had, to the priest to be distributed to the poor. But here in our day, we many times just put in our envelope or our money, and we've kind of gotten used to that. But the contribution you really have to make, and you really must make, is yourself. I am the one who is being offered. It is me. It is my life, my suffering, my joys, my sacrifices that I join with his and unite them. Every morning there is a sacrifice that we make, and it's to join ourselves with him. Our thoughts, our words, ourselves, and those that are not fit for offering, then these are those that prevent us from being fully alive in him. And all of us have that. Words we say, thoughts we have, imaginations, actions that are not his, that need to be trimmed and pruned, and those branches that need to be cleaned in every single one of us. I am the vine. You are the branches. Any branches that does not bear fruit, my Father will trim and cut off, because he alone is the judge who knows this vine of his. And he knows this, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Remain in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. The kind of fruit that David, I believe, is bearing with his children. The kind of fruit that mother has. The kind of fruit, I remember I was talking to a priest this past week, and he and I were old friends, and he called me. It was really funny. He said to me, John, I don't want your holiness, and I don't want your sermons. I just want your laugh. I just broke out laughing. He was an old friend, and he wanted to wish me a very happy and blessed Holy Week. And that's what he wanted to do. I haven't seen him for a long time. And Dan was, and I were chatting and talking, and I was telling him about this podcast and how the truth and the matter is that those apostles and those weaknesses that they had and brokennesses that they had, especially during this time of the action of the Gospels, that they were the Peter of the Gospel. It was the James of the Gospel. It was the Judas of the Gospel. Yeah, this is not Jesus. Those who have union with him, you see, only he is the one who brought salvation to the world. None of them did. None of them. But through him and with him and in him, who went out this very night and went to suffer his death on the cross, this is what brought salvation to the world. And even Jesus, when he was risen, that's how we got into the discussion, that the risen Jesus, he said, the apostles, he said, we're like the apostles. He is there, but he is in us. We are in him, and he is in us now, but not then, not until Pentecost. And so even for the time that he was here on earth, they were still unable to do anything through him and with him and in him, not until He came into them and transformed them by his radiating power of the Holy Spirit. You see, in the age, this 2020 that we're in, in the first century, second, third, Christ is being incarnate and Christ is being living in his body in union with Jesus. When Mother Teresa in the 20th century was in him and through him and with him, and when she was declared the saint of the 20th century by John Paul II, and when he now is declared a saint. You see, every one of his actions until he died and he completed his task, and so too with every one of the 700 and some that died yesterday in New York. As they close their eyes in death, they open them, and they are in him and with him and through him enter into glory because of him. And so eternity, and today in the celebration that we have of the Last Supper, that it was the Last Supper that Jesus had with Jesus, in which he is teaching them by washing their feet, by praying for them, but now he's giving us an example of what we must do and how we must live the body of Christ. And we are to follow not so much the example of them without Christ, but them in him and through him and with him.
Final thought, Monsignor?
I give you a new command, says the Lord. Love one another as I have loved you. The love that I have for you is his love. The love that you have for me is his love. The love that a husband and wife have for one another, the love that Christians bear for each other, is a divine love. That love is that which wants to consume every single human being in the entire world. That love is a person. It's the Holy Spirit. That love is the love in which we have our age. It is the age of the Holy Spirit. He wants to consume each of us in that divine love. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, because of the love you have for one another. God bless.
Thank you very much, Monsignor. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Monsignor. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Reflections by Monsignor John Essif, Lent 2020. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com, and in particular, please share this particular reflection with them during this difficult period in the life of the church and of the world. And join us next time for Reflections with Monsignor John Essif.